T.D. Jakes said, "I think the first step is to understand that forgiveness does not exonerate the perpetrator. Forgiveness liberates the victim. It's a gift you give yourself." You're joining Mark Masri and Laura Watson on the 100 Huntley Street podcast today. And right now, we're going to be talking about forgiving the unforgivable.
It's a really tough subject, Laura, because for so many reasons and for so many decades, especially in America, African Americans have had a lot of good reason to harbor unforgiveness in their hearts. And today we're going to be talking about a racially motivated mass shooting that happened back in 2015 in Charleston, South Carolina. My guest is Chris Singleton, and his mother was one of the precious lives lost in that racially motivated shooting.
Yes, Sharonda Coleman Singleton. She was only 45. Mark, that's, you know, 3 years older than I am. It's so heartbreaking. And Chris was just a young man at the time with a world of responsibility thrown on his shoulders and his life completely altered in one moment of senseless violence and racism.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting for Chris, and we're going to hear his story in just a minute, so I don't want to give too much away, but it was that tragedy in his life that was the turning point in his own personal walk with Jesus. And it's hard to believe, but yes, he was faced with the decision either to turn and run towards Jesus or to turn and run in the opposite direction, because his mom was at a Bible study when this happened. So, you know, it's a very interesting dynamics in this conversation with Chris, but what a young man with such a level of maturity and understanding and a voice for healing where this racial conversation is concerned.
Yes, you know, his response to this atrocity is actually incredibly inspiring and surprising for many. And there's so much to be taken from it. You know, hearing someone who's gone through something like what Chris has talk about some of the beautiful things he ends up saying out of it, there's so much weight to that. There's so much strength for the rest of the world as we face things that are unjust and we have to try to work forward towards forgiveness and out of them. Well, Mark, let's go to your conversation with Chris right now.
To lose a loved one to natural causes is painful enough, but to lose someone that you love as a direct result of racial hatred, well, there just are no words. My guest today knows all too well what the families of Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and George Floyd feel. In fact, he's lived that reality every day for the past number of years. Chris Singleton is a former Chicago Cub, now a best-selling author, inspirational speaker, and he joins me today to share some of his inspiring story. Welcome to 100 Huntley Street, Chris.
Thank you for having me.
It's so good to have you. I want to ask you, you grew up, you were born in Atlanta, but moved to Charleston, South Carolina in middle school. What was your upbringing like in those middle school years?
Yeah, well, obviously in middle school, the hormones are flying, right? Puberty's hitting. But I was an athlete and I love sports. So everything was basketball, baseball for me, and just hanging out with my friends, just like most kids do.
Yeah. Your story takes quite a tragic turn back in 2015, and many of our viewers will remember that fateful day in June, actually, of 2015, when we heard the news of a racially motivated mass shooting at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, where 9 innocent lives were lost during a Bible study. And in that number of 9, your mother, Sharonda Coleman Singleton, only 45 years of age at the time, was one of the precious souls lost. What did that do to you as a young man?
Man, well, it was, being thrown into the fire for me, 18 years old. And, something like that, I call it the unthinkable, because you never think in a million years something like that would happen to you until it does. It was tough then. It's tough now. And I'm sure it's going to be tough in the future. But it changed me. It made me, grow up quicker than a lot of people. Taking care of 2 teenagers when I'm not even 21 yet. And life changed for me totally after I lost my mom that night.
Now, you describe yourself as not necessarily walking with Jesus or having a faith that you could really cling to up to that point in your life. You were kind of doing the teenage thing, kind of living life for yourself, enjoying yourself. But you said that moment when you were faced with the loss of your mother under such tragic circumstances, it did something to your faith. What happened?
Yeah, man, I think anybody that loses a loved one while they're praying in church, right? My mom was shot 8 times while she was praying. I think there's 2 ways you can go with your faith. You could say, number one, there's no way God is real. Or you can say, two, God, I don't know how this happened or why this happened, but I need you to get me through it. And I went with the latter, and things changed for me, right? The relationship became real. I didn't just call myself a believer. I actually started seeking a relationship daily, pouring into the word for the first time for myself, not just listening to my pastor or my mom as she would read me scriptures in the car. And I'm listening to music like most teenagers do. But the relationship became real for me. And because of that, I'm able to be where I am today, share the things that I share about, all because of the things God has placed on my heart.
Mm-hmm. Chris, what would you say it is about your relationship with Jesus that helped you get through that tragic event and continue to process it even 6 years later?
Yeah, I'd say mainly, I didn't have my mom anymore, didn't have my dad. And so Jesus became the rock that I would lean on, right? I think up until that point, I was an athlete, right? And it was just be strong, be courageous all the time. And for me, the vulnerability I found was when I was able to just talk to Jesus at night and just pray and just let those emotions out. And that was the comforting for me. It was therapeutic for me. And I think that in itself helped me to kind of, you know, maneuver through those really, really tough times. And now to this day, I feel like God's leading me. You know, mm-hmm. My daily prayers are asking for wisdom. My mom used to always tell me to read the book of Proverbs. So every month I try to read it in entirety. And so just filling myself up with things like that so I can pour back out to other people are some ways that I try to get it done.
Now, the young man that was found guilty, charged with numerous counts of first-degree murder, racially motivated, is going to spend pretty much the rest of his life behind bars. I mean, the big question for me, I'm sure for most of our viewers, is how do you get to that point of forgiveness? And if you even can, because I mean, we could talk about a 5-step program, and we can write books about it. We can even dig deep into the theology of forgiving our debtors. But when we're faced with that decision, much like you have been faced with, how is that even possible for you?
You know, I honestly think it's a modern day miracle, right? When I forgave my mother's killer the day after my mom was killed. And so for me, I didn't, you know, think about doing it. I didn't say these are the 7 steps to do it. God placed it on my heart. I said those words and kind of surprised myself. But now I realize why forgiveness was placed on my heart, because of the power in it. You know, recently somebody asked me, Chris, where's your mother's killer being held? And I have no idea. I think forgiveness has freed me from constantly thinking about the person that caused so much pain in my life. Forgiveness has freed me from trying to get revenge. Forgiveness has freed me from all these different things. It's freed me from hating white people, right? It freed me from so many different things. And I know why God placed it on my heart. And every single day I have the opportunity now to share about it, because now I'm able to be the best husband that I can be, the best father that I can be. And I know that there's no way I could do those things if I was constantly holding that grudge and wanting to get revenge after what happened to me and my family.
Yeah. I've often heard harboring unforgiveness is like drinking poison yourself and wanting the person that you're harboring unforgiveness towards to die. And we just know it doesn't work that way. How have you seen God work out that forgiveness in you in your day-to-day life? And what have you seen as a in terms of fruit in your life as a result of that forgiveness you were willing to extend?
Yeah, I think number one, it's given me a new perspective on life. I'm 25 years young, going through so much, having to grow up super early, taking care of teenagers as a 20-year-old, and finally seeing my little brother graduate this year. But I think mainly it just gave me the hope that, yes, bad things can happen to you, but you don't have to stay there forever, right? And I think, whenever I talk to non-believers, they'll say, Chris, you've gone through so much. How in the world do you still believe? And I always say, the Bible doesn't say it's going to be easy. I just know that there's another in the fire that's always there with me. I think going through the things I've gone through, and now forgiveness for me has allowed me to keep moving forward in my life. I don't think I'll ever be able to, quote unquote, move on, but I can't move forward. And that's what I'm trying to do right now.
Amidst all of this going on in your life in 2015, you move on to the pros in 2017. You played with the Chicago Cubs, or you played in the minor leagues there. And now you work with athletes, you're working in your community coaching baseball. But tell us a little bit now about what you find yourself especially passionate about.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different. I'm no longer on the field. And people say, you know, they introduce me as a retired 25-year-old. It's a nice way to say I got cut, right? I love the Cubs. But after I got released, I just followed my passion, which was then sharing this message of unity. I get the opportunity to speak to, you know, professional teams across the U.S., like the Houston Texans, like the Washington Wizards, Minnesota Timberwolves, and many others about unity and what that looks like. How do people use their influence to bring people closer together, right? I always say we don't always have to gather around the campfire and sing country songs or sing Keith Urban, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe I want to sing Usher, but I should look at somebody and say, because they're God's child, they're my brother, they're my sister, regardless of what they look like or what their first language may be. And so that's the message that I get to share across the country and around the world now. And I'm just blessed that God has been able to, you know, open up the doors for me to be able to do so.
And he's blessed you indeed. I know you've authored some great children's books. You're a best-selling author. You've got two titles, Your Life Matters and Different, about the beauty of diversity and loving our neighbors. What is so important, because they're geared towards children. I want to ask you, what is so important about children in your quest to be able to bring unity and reconciliation? Why are they so key?
Man, we always say it, right? It's up to the next generation. We've been saying that for generations. But the key is, not only did the kids get the message in these books, the parents are reading it to them, which I think a lot of people miss. And so the conversations that they'll have with the discussion questions, when they ask a kid, hey, did you choose where you were born, or did you choose your first language, right? When we're celebrating kids from all over the country, I think it's what, honestly, man, as a believer, I think, you know, heaven's a melting pot of people from all over the world. And so I think in these books that I'm writing, I want that to be what's shown to these kids. Mm-hmm. And also, I always said my story is so sad, right? And I share it with companies and, you know, sports teams, but I never felt like I could tell an 8-year-old, you know, how I lost my mom. I feel like it would take away their innocence, but the mission is still there. And that's how I'm able to keep spreading the word through these kids' books.
And diversity is such a beautiful picture of what heaven is going to be like. And I think we lose sight of that so often in this journey, like in the here and now. I want to ask you, because your books really drive this point home that we need to love our neighbors. How do we effectively love our neighbor, Chris?
Yeah, well, number one, I used to always do this example of, number one, I would just have people hug one another that don't look like each other, right? So if you're a black person, if you're a white person, if you're a Latino person, if you're an Asian, I would just say hug them for the first time, because so many people have never given somebody a hug that looks different than them. And I think that's a little, you know, that's weird. If we're always talking about loving people, let's still start with the hug, right? Affection. If we can't do that, then I would also say, make sure you hear somebody's story before you hear their opinion. And the reason why I say that is because so often we jump to conclusions based on somebody's stance on something, forgetting that they have a story behind it, just like we have a story behind ours. So when I go into a conversation, I want to love people. I want to know about them. I want to learn their story, because then those stereotypes and the things that those unconscious biases that I may not even realize I have, maybe the walls would drop once I hear their story. And I hope the same if they hear mine.
Those are some strong, powerful, impactful words, Chris. I want to draw attention to the fact that you and your wife, Mariana, you still live in Charleston. You have a son, CJ. You have one on the way. What is your prayer for CJ and his generation as we move forward?
Yeah, well, man, the prayer is simple. I pray this all the time, but I just pray that people would love one another regardless of where they're from or what they look like. We'll realize there's so many things we don't control in this life, like my skin color, right, or my first language. But we can always love people regardless of those things. I pray that for my son. I pray that for every single kid. And I'm also praying that for the adults as well.
Chris, you are an inspiration, my friend. I've so enjoyed getting to talk to you today. So honored to be able to talk through your story and experience the healing that you have come through. And I know it's translated to our viewers. You know, and your message you're taking to campuses and companies across America and abroad, and you know, the message I'm taking away today, and I thank you for that, is that we just need to listen and learn what it means to truly love our neighbors, regardless of what we look like, what our dialect is, just as Jesus instructed, putting others first before ourselves, extending grace and mercy and compassion, and really doing it. And thank you for being such a wonderful example of grace. We can all take a serious chapter out of your book. God bless you, and look forward to talking to you again, brother.
Thank you, man. God bless you as well.
Anger can lead to a hardened heart, but forgiveness can lead to freedom. The Bible encourages us not to let anger get the best of us, but let us overcome anger through forgiveness. If anger's got a hold of your heart, call our 24/7 prayer lines at 1-866-273-4444 or visit crossroads.ca/24/7prayer. Anytime, anywhere, we're here for you.
Wow, Mark, Chris's story is riveting, and not just the experience that he's had, this story that really is hard to wrap your head around, actually, that, you know, someone would have to go through this, that this loss of lives would occur through an act of racism in this way, but also Chris's journey of saying, I'm forgiving this man. Mm-hmm. I'm making this choice. God wants me to do this. Some people, they just run from God once they have a tragedy like this happen and a senseless act of violence or such hatred, you know, occurs in their life towards them or someone they love. And yet Chris is running towards God. And and now look at the things he's doing, writing children's books that promote, you know, diversity and loving your neighbor. And one of the things I love that he says is hear someone's story before you hear their opinion. Mm. Doesn't that just change everything?
Oh my goodness. There is so much about this conversation with Chris. I mean, you can just hear the level of authenticity and sincerity in his voice. Like, this is a man that is committed to what the transformation that has taken place in his own heart and wants to be a conduit of change in society and bringing healing and unity and love. And, you know, one of the things he said about his own salvation journey, he said, it's a modern day miracle. You know, the forgiveness that's been extended to me, and only from that place can I offer forgiveness to this man that did this to my mother and these eight other precious souls that were killed. And he said, as a result of that, it has freed me to be the man, the husband, the father that I want to be. He knows that lack of forgiveness, had he chosen to go that route and harbor this hatred towards this man, which a lot of us would say he's totally justified in that position for what this guy did. But he realizes the freedom that is now his, and the quality of life that he has is so much more liberated. Mm-hmm. And to come from a place of love, Lara, is always going to be better than the opposite.
It certainly is. And, you know, it's not just, you know, as we were off the top of our discussion here, talking about what T.D. Jakes says, like, it's not just about, you know, helping the perpetrator or, you know, or like helping them move on. This is really about helping the individual find freedom and not be enslaved to unforgiveness, which leads to bitterness and anger and hatred and really can rob us of the lives that God has called us to. And, you know, I know in journeys in my life, like, unforgiveness feels like a prison sometimes.
Yeah.
And we don't want that. And God doesn't want that for us, you know. But of course, we can't diminish the weight of the kind of forgiveness Chris has had to offer, because we all face moments where we have to forgive someone. But what Chris is having to forgive and what he's forgiven is such a big weight. You know, forgiving racism and murder and senseless violence. It's incredible. To witness his journey, he is a leader among leaders and a beacon of hope for all of us as we live in this messy world where so many things happen, you know, that we can't control. And we see this fight of evil versus good. We see this constantly playing out around us.
Yeah, I agree. And I can't help but think it's got to be a daily laying down for Chris. Mm-hmm. I mean, because there are going to be memories of his mom that will come up all the time. He'll see a picture, you know, of her on the mantle, or he'll have a memory of a child with her, and then be reminded yet again of what happened and why she's no longer with him. And then the situation, you know, it's going to be a daily laying down of that piece of who he is. And just so thankful for the opportunity to meet him and to speak with him, because he's relatively young, Lara, for the level of maturity and understanding that he has. And, you know, it kind of goes to that, this whole conversation about forgiveness. You know, we talk a lot about it here on podcast, about the freedom that comes from offering forgiveness to someone else. I mean, there are a lot of reasons why. I mean, we know that we're to forgive as Christ has forgiven us. That's a scripture taken from Colossians 3, verse 13. We also know Peter went to Jesus and said, hey, if someone wrongs me, how many times should I forgive them? Seven times? I mean, I think Peter was thinking he was being really generous with this, with offering people forgiveness seven times. And Jesus is like, hold up, wait, it's 70 times seven. I mean, and that means really infinite. There's an infinite number of times we should forgive those that offend us. But and when we harbor the unforgiveness towards someone, it's like that analogy, you know, you'll often hear people say, you know, if you don't forgive someone, it's like drinking poison and expecting that person to die.
It
only poisons us.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
So to get to that place of freedom that Chris was talking about, that he's experienced and he's living out, he can write these children's books and be an agent of change. Mm-hmm. What a gift. What a gift he is to the world. And yet, just one more thing, just before we want to give you prayer lines in just a second, because you may be battling in this area of forgiveness. Perhaps you may need the forgiveness of Jesus in your life, which we all need on a daily basis, or you may need help forgiving someone else. But I just want to say, just specific to this conversation, you know, I'm reminded again that I, as a person that doesn't look like Chris, or Lara, you don't look like Chris, that we need to be people that add our voices to those that suffer these injustices, to say it is wrong. It must stop. Racial injustices and ostracization and these atrocities committed against people because of the color of their skin must stop.
Yes, absolutely. We have to roll up our sleeves. We have to educate ourselves. We have to advocate for our brothers and sisters. And we have to work very hard to change things in the world right now.
Yep.
Educating the next generation, fighting for justice, making sure that all voices are heard, voices are celebrated, calling out, you know, when we're in a room of people who look like us and they're, you know, insinuating racist sort of comments. And I remember when I was younger, I would hear that, but I would call those comments out. I would say to people gently, no. That's not the right thing to say. This is racism, what you're saying. And this is important that we do these things. We all have to do our part as we're building a better future with people like Chris who are leading the way. And, you know, we want to encourage you right now, if you're listening and something in this conversation with Chris has provoked something in your heart. And as Mark said, whether that's a need for forgiveness yourself, which we all have, or this feeling that you need to forgive others, maybe there's a wrong that has happened to you. Maybe something racially motivated has happened towards you. Maybe you've experienced violence. Maybe you have a loss. Maybe someone has really devastated your life. We just want to encourage you right now that forgiveness is possible. It is a miracle. It is a miracle, but it's possible. And God gives us the strength to do it. Sometimes we have to lay down those wounds every single day, but over time we begin to have freedom from them. And right now we want to encourage you that our prayer partners are standing by 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to meet you wherever you are at on this journey. Whatever you are feeling right now, nothing is too much for God to handle. Tell him the truth. Share the truth with our prayer partners and just be open in a moment. In a beautiful moment where God can move, God can meet you, reach your heart, help you feel his love, help you feel that freedom you long for. So our prayer partners are standing by 1-866-273-4444. And you can also write an email, prayer@crossroads.ca. Just write an email, say what's on your heart. God is a big God. He can handle it.
He is a big God. And I just feel like as we're wrapping up here, I think it's important for you to know that because you extend forgiveness to the perpetrator doesn't make what they did to you okay. And that's not what God is even saying to you. Yeah. He doesn't want his children hurt in any way, shape, or form. He doesn't want his children racially profiled treated differently than anyone else. That does not make it okay. But the forgiveness part of that equation sets you free. It sets you free. It doesn't make what's been done to you okay, but it sets you free. And we want you to walk in freedom today. That's what we all want. And so call those prayer lines. They're available to you. Thank you so much for joining us today. You've been listening to the Huntley Street Podcast with Mark and Lara. And we've so thoroughly enjoyed having you with us. And stay tuned for more inspiring, hopeful conversations right here on Huntley Street Podcast.
Thank you for your ongoing support of Crossroads, a supporter-funded nonprofit organization and member of the Canadian Center of Christian Charities. Thanks to faithful people like you, we are able to continue producing 100 Huntley Street. You can write to Crossroads, P.O. Box 5100, Burlington, Ontario, L7R4M2, or visit crossroads.ca to learn more about our programs.